to our web series, Acing a Tennis Career. As you know, we're interviewing different tennis professionals from all across Eastern, or people who've had relationships with Eastern, to show you how many wonderful opportunities there are in tennis and within the tennis industry. Today, we'd like to welcome Kelsey Shea. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey, Nat.
That's nice to see you. I have to get on to everybody that Kelsey's had a bit of a relationship with my daughter, so we've known one another for quite some time. So it's so much fun to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let me give you a bit of background about Kelsey. She's the manager at Armonk Tennis Club and who's responsible for the day-to-day operations of the club. And she serves as the organizational force for the clients and the staff and also teaches lessons. A lot of you will know that Armonk actually has an enormous amount of USTA tournaments. So she's the person who runs all of those. She actually started at Armonk when she was still in high school. She did some coaching then and during her college summers. And then she became the primary tournament director after college. And she runs all the USTA sanctioned competitions for all ages and levels. Outside of the club, Kelsey's also a high school tennis coach. She's coached for Sacred Heart of Greenwich and she's coached for Rye Country Day. Kelsey graduated from Colgate University and played 4 years of Division I college for the Raiders. Nice to have you here, Kels. Let's jump straight in. How are you doing in lockdown? You guys are starting to open up. How's that going?
Yeah, so things have been really busy, changing every day. We got word that we could play outdoor tennis, which luckily we have outdoor courts. So we were able to open up first for our members to play singles. We've been able to lift some restrictions and have people play doubles and teach private lessons. We've even gotten the go-ahead to start camp on the 29th. It's exciting. But obviously, you know, things are changing from day to day. So you think you have your plan going and you think you're ready for everything. And then an hour later, something else comes up and it's been fun, but it's definitely stressful and a lot of work.
Yeah. And it's, I think everybody has to just be smart and flexible and take one day at a time now.
Exactly. Definitely.
But I think people are excited to get out on those courts and it's great to be starting again after lockdown.
And we've seen people that have never played tennis before. You know, their kids might play and they've been locked up for 3 months and they're like, you know, I got to do something active. So they're taking private lessons now. And it's really, I mean, it's reaching people that aren't necessarily tennis players. Because you can't, we have one lady who plays on soccer leagues, like ladies soccer leagues, and she can't do that right now. So she's been taking like 3 lessons a week. So it's cool to get more people that wouldn't necessarily play involved. And yeah, it's a good thing right now.
I think it's an opportunity. Let's jump into your story, Kels. When did you first start tennis? When did you first pick up a racket?
Honestly, I don't even remember. As early as I could. My dad used to teach, so he got us on the courts super early. So I mean, I have pictures of me, little tyke, 2 hands on both sides. Obviously, I've graduated from that a little bit. So super early. And obviously, it's been a part of my life ever since. It hasn't been all of my life, although now it kind of is. But I played other sports. I was a soccer player through high school. Obviously, tennis in college and now. But started when I was a little one.
And you played at college. What were the main sort of memories and what did tennis give you in terms of having 4 years of D1 college tennis?
That defined my college career. Those are the best stories that I have are through tennis. Like I said before, I wasn't exactly the biggest tennis player up to college. But I realized that I just wasn't ready to give it up. And I found a couple schools that A, I wanted to go to academically, but B, I could also play at. So I ended up pursuing that. And luckily, whereas some people peak early in their career, I peaked as I got through college, which was nice, just because I wasn't used to playing every day. So all of a sudden I'm playing every day and it's like, oh, okay, pretty decent. So yeah, I mean, any story I look at, that's going to be the thing that I'm also most proud of, is that I can say I played D1 college tennis for 4 years. Not everybody can say that. So yeah, it's been been cool.
And you grew up in a tennis family. Your father owns a number of tennis clubs. Did you always know that you were going to go into tennis, or was it a bit of a surprise that you suddenly landed up working in the family business?
So I guess I always said I wanted to do what my dad did. Obviously, when I was younger, it was because I thought he was home a lot. So it sounds great. Super easy. But obviously, as time went on and I spent more time at the club, I just really enjoyed being there. I enjoyed all the different aspects. I coached through high school and college, and you know, we worked with the camps and was on court. I realized that wasn't something that I could see myself doing long term, but I loved the administrative side of things. So you know, when it came time push to shove to get a job, it just so happened that I ended up where I was. Ideally, I was supposed to get a job elsewhere to get a little bit more experience, but you know, this is what I want to do, and I know exactly what that I want to be there for the long term. So why not get started immediately after graduation?
And tell us what you do actually in your day-to-day job as the manager of your club and the tournament director in terms of handling all those tournaments. Tell us what a day in the life of Kelsey Shea looks like.
I don't think there really is a day in the life. Kind of depends on the day. So there are definitely, you know, peaks and valleys in the year. There are definitely points of the year that are more busy than other points. In a normal season or in a normal year, not 2020, the spring would be busy because you're planning for the fall programs, you're planning for summer camps, you're planning for the spring teams. So you're kind of doing your planning for the entire calendar year all within 2 or 3 months. Obviously this year it's a little different. We're spending our day just trying to come up with creative ideas to get people on the courts. And then obviously in the background, we've got the summer camp thing, and just trying to make sure that we're meeting all the regulations. We're making sure that the kids are safe, the staff is safe, and we can still have summer camp where it doesn't feel like the kids are, you know, prevented from doing certain things. So, you know, today was just interviewing other staff members for camp. It was just trying to figure out the layout and the logistics of what a normal camp day will look like. So it depends on the day in the life.
And you hire quite a lot of people, because that's what's amazing about the tennis industry. Within, even though it's a small business, you still have quite a lot of people that you give an opportunity to within this industry. So how many people do you have working in the whole of the Armonk, the few clubs?
It's still a relatively small club. So in terms of staff on court, we have 10 full-time pros between our two facilities. On the more management side of things, it's myself and another manager for both locations. Obviously the owner for both locations. And then we have, you know, desk staff that comes in and comes out. We have people that are doing birthday parties, people that are working tournaments. So, you know, full-time staff is pretty small, but there's the opportunity for getting people in for random hours here and there. So, you know, probably up to like 40 people, give and take. Obviously with camp also, it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So some of your highlights about your job, like tell us, share one or two quick stories on the best part about doing what you do.
Okay, so probably the absolute coolest story. So our academy director is Kevin Anderson's brother, Greg. And so there was a couple years ago when he made it to the semis. Excuse me, sorry. A couple years ago, he made it to the semis of Wimbledon, beating Roger Federer. We're like, you know what? We gotta go. So we ended up booking tickets for the next day to fly out to London to make it for the semifinals, because obviously, you know, you can't just assume they're going to win. and make it to the finals. So we've ended up booking overnight tickets. We arrived at Heathrow, drove straight to Wimbledon, and we got to watch. Granted, we missed the first set. So we're like, oh, that's such a bummer. Like, we missed a whole first set. Well, it went for like 5 more hours, so we didn't really miss very much. And for, you know, those who haven't followed it, Kevin won in 5 sets in the second longest match in Wimbledon history, I think. Yeah. Don't quote me on that. So obviously that was a huge celebration, and we ended up staying, and I was able to watch a little bit of the finals. But that was definitely like the most spontaneous thing I've ever done. And B, probably the coolest thing that I've ever gotten that was kind of work related.
It's amazing how in tennis, though, one gets these opportunities to meet these fabulous people. And from what you've told me, both Greg, who works at your club, and Kevin are just lovely, lovely people.
Yeah, they're definitely stand-up people.
So that's very, very cool. So you also wear a lot of other hats. Moving out of your role as the manager of your club, I've seen that you've written some articles for magazines. I've read one of your articles in the tennis magazine. How did you get involved in writing and putting out some of your opinions and thoughts on tennis?
So honestly, I was just, I mean, it wasn't me writing. I was a racket collaborator. I want to make it sound as more important than it is, but it was just a member from our club does write a ton for tennis magazine. And he had a bunch of demos that he was supposed to write on. So he wanted to get a former college opinion on it. And then we had our tennis director, and he was also hitting in. So we were able to collaborate and try to help him with his write-ups for the rackets. So I want to make it sound cooler than it is, but that's it.
That's pretty cool. And you're also a high school coach. I know you you coached at Sacred Heart. That's where we met you, and you were coaching our daughter, and you've also coached at Wright Country Day. Both schools have done really, really well. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to coach high school tennis.
I love it. You know, I played high school tennis at Greenwich High School, and then obviously that led into college. There's just, I mean, for it being such an individual sport, it's so cool that these kids kind of realize that it can be a team sport. I don't think we're raised in the tennis industry to realize that it's a team sport. So, you know, there are difficult days where, you know, the girls don't want to do anything after school. I mean, we've all been there. I don't want to do things after work half the time. But it's fun to be able to try to get them engaged and make it a useful practice, even when the girls aren't necessarily all there mentally or physically. And I like the match aspect of it. I like the coaching aspect during that. I think there's a difference between coaching and teaching. I enjoy the coaching side of things a little bit more, which I think I get with working with the high school girls. And yeah, they're so much fun. You know, I know I'm so much older than them at this point, but I still I still feel like I'm part of them.
Yeah, well, you're a lot younger than their mothers, I can assure you. And I know that they love you and that you're a great coach at the high school. I also know that you've sometimes traveled with high-performance players as chaperone, taking them to tournaments or team events like zonals. What's that like, traveling with a high-performance coach, making sure more as a chaperone, but making sure those kids are ready for the tournament?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun because that kind of brings me back to the college days. And, you know, the traveling portion of it was some of the most fun, even when it was just the off-court stuff, just bonding with the rest of the team. So traveling with these kids, it's just giving them a little hint of hopefully what they're working towards to be able to play in college. You know, it kind of... I remember when I was able to travel, it was, you felt like really kind of important, and you felt like, yeah, like, I'm really good at this. So it's fun to be part of that experience where they're, you know, gaining confidence that they are really good at their sport, and so good that they can travel with it. And it's fun to be a part of that.
And Kelsey, you've you're still young and you've done a lot. Other people your age or younger than you might also be interested in getting into the tennis industry. What is your advice to them?
I think my advice would be that they're, even if you don't think that you're a fit on court, or maybe that's not the way that you want to pursue a job in tennis, there are so many other ways to get involved and to grow a career from it. It doesn't have to just be about being a coach. You know, there's working in clubs, there's working in fundraising, there's working in, you know, event planning. Like, there's so many different aspects of a career in tennis that it's not just all about being on court. But obviously having that experience is also helpful as well.
And what are your goals going forward? We've got very interesting times with post sort of the lockdown, and what are your goals for your club and yourself going forward at this point for tennis?
I think immediate goals are just making us a well-known club for all different levels, not just high performance, not just JD, you know, junior programs. I want to be a place where you could come and, you know, the whole family can play there. So we're still, you know, growing that. And I think we're doing a great job. I just want to see the upward trajectory with that. And, you know, down the road, we'll see what happens. I think this whole 2020 has shaken everybody up, and, you know, we might all have to get a lot more creative than we thought we were. So what that will look like, I'm not really sure, but it's definitely a bit of a challenge. And it's nice to have, like, I mean, I might not be saying this like now that it's nice, but it's kind of cool that you have to now start branching out and thinking of different things. Like, it keeps you on your toes where the job could get a little mundane after a while. But it's cool to be thinking of all different things and how to get other people incorporated in tennis, especially kids right now that are generally involved in team sports that need to get active, and they might find a passion for tennis that they might not have gotten in the past.
This could be the new thing that every single person thinks they have to have at least tennis behind them, because it's a social distance sport.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the best.
Let's pivot a little and finish off with some fun questions, Gal. Tell me, what's your favorite Grand Slam?
I mean, I have to say the US Open, but close second, Wimbledon.
Okay, well, especially since you had an amazing experience at Wimbledon. What was that final score at Wimbledon? I think it was like 19-17 or something, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it was a long one.
So who do you want to see win the US Open? And I'm actually going to say next year, because we don't know if it's going to happen this year. So who do you want to win next year?
Men's or women's?
And the ladies?
So I don't know. Give me a second. I need to think about this. So the men's, obviously, I mean, I have to say Federer. We need some more wins, obviously. For the women, I would love to see one of the young Americans. I think Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens, and younger. I think that would be so sick, especially in the US Open.
Yeah, I agree. And what about the New York Open? Hoping to see you there in January, February. That'll be one of the big tournaments in the early start of next year, which could be exciting. Who do you want to see play in the New York Open, and who do you want to see win?
These are good questions. Person that I would want to see just for tennis and the entertainment factor is Kyrgios. As for winning, who knows? Whoever. I don't have a good answer for these questions.
You're sitting on the fence on that one. Kels, thanks so much for being part of our show. It's been fabulous having you, and so good to hear your views. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you for having me.